This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. The CEO and co-founder of Wealth Management Group is Craig Bolanos, a regular guest with us here. What's your optimism index today, Craig, for a resolution to the debt ceiling?
Oh, I'm going to make a bold proclamation on your show, John. Here it is. Drum roll, please. We will see the 79th raise of the debt ceiling in the last 65 years. I mean, we've done it 78 times before in the last 64 years. Why shouldn't we raise it a 79th time this 65th year? I understand that once you get to the two-yard line, it's tough to score a touchdown in football. I think the same thing can be said when we've got President Biden working with Speaker McCarthy, who's held hostage to certain factions in his party, who wouldn't talk tough going into the weekend. But I think we're going to be okay coming on the other side.
It does appear as though they're going to resolve this. Hooray for that. I've heard maybe as early as Sunday we'll get an announcement, which is necessary because it takes a while to get the legislation written, voted on, et cetera, et cetera. But having said all that, Craig, how happy should we be that we needed to raise the debt ceiling again?
Well, if you're asking me if I'm celebrating and doing cartwheels over having $32 trillion in debt at the same time, the costs to that debt are going to be increasing because interest rates have needed to rise to fight inflation. No, certainly I'm not happy. I think everyone needs to have a dose of fiscal conservatism. You know, I tell my two college kids that, hey, guys, you know, you can't write checks that your body can't cash. And at some point in time, everyone's going to need to understand the country works in a similar philosophy. But for the time being, we need to keep things moving. We need to keep the gears of free markets and capitalism flowing. And that means raising the debt ceiling. But I think it's all a takeaway from us that we need to have some level of a balanced budget because you can't print money into success.
Debt isn't an inherently bad thing, right? I borrowed money to buy a house. I think debt is not necessarily bad. Is the amount of debt we have the problem?
You know, ultimately, this is going to be nothing more than a factor on age wave demographics and population density studies. I don't want to end up like our cousins overseas in France, where we end up with too many people retired and too few people working. What's always been good in America is our debt to gross domestic product ratio has been reasonable. And I would argue while the numbers are as high as they've ever been right now, they are still A-OK. So I do not think the sky is yet falling. I do not believe the dollar is about to lose its status as the world's reserve currency, as some are. But I do think that from time to time, these games of what some people deem brinksmanship, we had it in 2011, we're seeing another dose of it now. It reminds all of us that we just need to be careful on how we spend money, and at the same time, raising revenue, which is a nice way of saying raising taxes, that's a very delicate needle to thread.
Boy, think of what we could do with all the money if we had the interest we have to pay every year back on that thing. That's the favor Republicans have done with us. You know, the holding the ceiling hostage is silly and is catastrophic if you do it. But on the upside, I don't know. I've got a grandkid. I don't want her to have to pay for our foolishness, and that's what's going to happen.
You know, we always seem to pass the buck down a generation or two. And, you know, I talk about those age wave demographics again because, you know, we start running into the buzzsaw with Social Security in 2034. We look at the fact that more people are retiring in America in the next 11 years than have retired in the entire history of America. How is that going to change the healthcare system and the demands on Medicare? And yes, I recognize for my two college-age sons that some of the sins we've had of zero interest rate policy for 16 years are going to be borne by them, but at least we have had some course correction. And, John, I don't know about you, I am happy that interest rates have been normalized. I think that's the first step to a cure. But we did pay off the debt once before in history. Everyone can remember that. I think we can do it again. We just need to start taking our cues with a little dose of realism, and that's some of what you're sharing and imparting wisdom on the noon business hour today.
Well, I hope so. But you've got to finish that thought in just a minute after I come back. We've paid out the debt before. You know, if there's some unfortunate legacies we're laying for our kids, it's the deficit and it is also the climate. And I would hope that we would all think about that when you look your kids or grandkids in the face. Hey, Craig, did you say a minute ago that we've paid off the debt before? Did I hear you correctly?
Well, I always have to think about that because I remind people that history shouldn't be a mystery, and some might say it's not relevant, but every time I pull out a 20 from the ATM machine, you know, that's an Andrew Jackson, I do remember that back in 1835, he paid off the national debt down to zero, hence the famous quote, "Gentlemen, the national debt is paid." Now, it may have only lasted a year, but we did make progress one time in history, and then I go back to the 1990s.
Yeah,
and we really did balance the budget, and we made some progress again before things got crazy under President Bush, President Obama, and it's just gone on from then.
Yeah, no kidding. So $33 trillion. I want to move on to some other things. Anything else we should talk about relative to that today?
You know, as far as the national debt goes, no, but I think, you know, this is a business show. There are investors who listen. They take their cues. People get education from empowerment. And I think the big news story is the fact that why doesn't the seemingly endless amount of negative news bring down the market? I think that's what's causing investors some level of consternation who are missing out on some of this year's gains.
So like what? What am I missing out on if I'm not in the market right now?
Well, I mean, everyone's been saying for the last 11 to 13 months, oh my heavens, this big divisive recession's going to happen. Everyone says we're worried about the interest rates, we're worried about the inflation, we're worried about the debt ceiling, we're worried about this, we're worried about that, and people are surprised to see how resilient the S&P 500 has been, how resilient the NASDAQ has been, and I think that's just because we live in these different times where in any normal year, this mass amount of negativity, for all intents and purposes, would probably keep the markets from going up. But we all have to reflect back and say, wow, 2022 was such a tough year. We're living in the show-me market, not the show-me state like Missouri, but up until the bad news actually occurs, I think this market has room to stay resilient, as it's proven thus far for what is 4.5 months.
Walmart's up again this week, more than 1%. Does that tell me something, though? If people are shopping at Walmart, does that come at the expense of other sectors of the retail economy?
Well, I think what it tells us when we look at Home Depot this week, we look at Target, we look at Walmart, we've seen something. The consumer is certainly becoming a little bit more discernible, or as my mom and dad would say, the consumer is becoming a little bit more frugal. But the reality is this frugality, this choice in being more price sensitive, that's indicative of when you see a slowdown in the economy. That's more indicative of a soft landing, not a hard landing. Because in a hard landing, you see the spending just collapse. So to your point, John, the spending has not collapsed. The spending has just changed. Very well said by you. So I think that provide some evidence that there's going to be a landing, but it's likely to be soft. This is not a repeat of the Great Recession of 08-09.
How do you figure Netflix up 9%?
Well, I think it's a case still again of this. I think it's last year's losers or this year's winners, but maybe more specifically than that, for any of the hot stocks and what we have all affectionately called the fangs, I think the fact that you've seen the yield on the 10-year, the yield on the 2-year treasury go down, it's gone lower. That works for traders on these discounted cash flow models and makes some of these newfangled tech stocks a little bit better. Not to mention some of the companies are doing a better job now managing subscriber growth, focusing on profitability. I think that's the key. Companies are no longer focused just on top line revenue, new subscribers. Companies are actually trying to be focused on the profits that they're making from whatever revenue they're collecting.
But about that tech sector for just 2 minutes. So the FANG stocks, which F-A-A-N-G stood for Facebook, Alphabet, Alpa, Apple, Netflix, and Google, right? That was FANG?
Yeah, those are the components.
They're doing well right now relative to, say, over the past year?
Well, the reality is, oh my gosh, all we have to look is at the S&P 500 and recognize that the top 10 stocks, which are mostly technology-driven, now account for 30% of the weighting. And with a lot of these technology stocks actually getting it within striking distance where they can actually see some of their all-time highs. Now, that's not the case for Netflix, but it might be the case for companies like Apple, Microsoft, et cetera. You know, it begs the question, should we move from cap weighted to equal weighting? But yes, tech has been the shining story thus far of 2023 for investors and traders alike.
One last thing. Give me a short thought on this, Craig Bolanos. Rents are crazy high in Chicago, maybe elsewhere. What's driving that? When is relief in sight? Any thoughts about that?
I wrote something on this 3 weeks ago, and here's what I believe is happening. We are seeing evidence that multifamily units from construction is going to be coming online. And when we take a look at the most recent prints in what I call core and underlying components of headline CPI, there is hope, John. That's what I leave you with. There is hope that as more inventory comes online in these multi-unit facilities, which should be here in the late third, early fourth quarter, that is going to help us start to take the sting out of the high cost of shelter, because that's been the most stubborn and persistent part for renters all across the country, man. Not just Chicago.
They need some relief. That's Pete, we got to wrap this up here, don't we? Craig Bolanos has always got a lot to say. The CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. I'll call you again, Craig. Thanks for your help today.
John, thanks so much.
You know, if you think about buzzy, fun places to shop and eat and drink in the Chicago area, you would say, where in Chicago? Is it Andersonville? Is it Lincoln Square? If you just push out a little bit more, where else do you like to go? Long Grove is always a buzzy, fun place. Ryan Messner is the president of the historic downtown Long Grove Business Association. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Good. And how's Long Grove these days?
Long Grove is on its way back. We've gone through a major revitalization, and we're back in fest season, which is also attracting new businesses. So it's just an exciting time to be in Long Grove.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about the Chocolate Fest, and you guys also make news for that bridge. But before we get to any of that, did Long Grove suffer because of the pandemic? Is that what you're referring to?
You know, actually, during the pandemic, we actually grew businesses. I think as we started looking at, you know, the outdoors atmosphere and what Long Grove offers, we grew by four or five businesses during the pandemic, which is unique. Most places were declining. We actually increased.
For those who haven't been there, I mean, describe the shopping scene there. What do you do or what do you get when you go to Long Grove?
So you've got a lot of boutique type of businesses, whether it's a restaurant or shopping. It's not your general, you know, go from one mall to another, you're going to see the same stores, the franchise. So it is unique that, you know, if you go for dinner, you might go have, you know, go to Enzo's and have Italian food that's all homemade. Or if you want to go shopping to a boutique, you're going to find clothing that you'll find just unique in this one location. So it's something unique to Long Grove. And again, it's quaint. It makes you come back in time while being in the big metro of Chicago.
How did it come to be? You know, I mean, isn't it kind of interesting? It would be almost, because you're right, this is not prefabricated. It's like a village decided to be a shopping mecca, but maintain some sort of small town charm, which is relatively unique. How did that come to be?
You know, we got to give credit to really the village as a whole, because when they developed Long Grove, it had that, they built it on charm. And they kept that mindset through all the different phases of everything that happened around Long Grove. And the big piece of Long Grove, it's the architect. It's that historic charm, that feel. And because they stood ground on that, you know, now we stand out. That everything around us is the same. We're still charming.
I know you guys for chocolate, right? That's a big staple in your town, right?
It is. So we have Chocolate Fest this weekend. It is going to be exciting. We're anticipating a large crowd. We've got bands, three stages, food from all around the area, shopping, carnival. So it's really meant for all ages, whether you've got kids or you're just adults, you want to come out and enjoy. We've got a little bit of something for everyone.
is so it's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Starts at 9. I'm looking at the schedule here. Starts at noon on Friday, right? Today?
It is just started about a half hour ago. We'll go to 11 tonight, from 10 to 11 tomorrow, and from 10 to 6 on Sunday. And, you know, if you go to longgrove.org, you can see all the bands, all the details of where we've got different activities throughout the day. And just come on out and enjoy what Long Grove has to offer.
How perfect is the weather going to be this weekend? My goodness.
This is when we see weather like patterns like this, because this really is like the big first festival in the area for this northwest suburb and surrounding area. So when we get weather like this, we're going to see some record crowds this week, which is great, because when we see record crowds, we also see opportunities, because people look at what's happened along over the last 5-6 years and they say, oh, this is an up-and-coming opportunity to open up a business. So it really does a lot of opportunity, gives a lot of opportunity for different areas of it.
Yeah, you're talking along those lines. You guys are trying to grow Long Grove?
Correct. We've got a lot of new additions that we've brought in, whether it's restaurants, different. We've got a brewery. We've got a couple wine places on top of our traditional shopping. You know, Long Grove, pre 10 years ago, at 5 o'clock, it was a ghost town. It was done. Now we've got that morning, afternoon, and evening element to downtown. And it just it shows what we've done in the last 10 years to really change what the look and feel of Long Grove is while still having the charm.
Yeah, it's interesting because now that you mentioned it, if you said, what's your gut reaction to Long Grove? I'd say the bridge. I'd say chocolate. I'd say weekends. I'd say lunch. But I don't think of that as a place I'm going to hang out at, you know, after 5. You guys are trying to address that, huh?
It is. So our shops and businesses are just as busy after 5 now than they are from at midday and lunchtime. And that's we take credit on what we've done to change that, you know, whether it's infrastructure. We put water in, we put lights in. So we added elements that make you want to come out, and it's not the same old Long Grove. It's the new Long Grove with just the same buildings and new businesses.
Talk to me about the bridge situation.
Our famous bridge. So obviously we had it, it got fixed during that the major crash that destroyed the top of it. And when they repaired the bridge, they actually encased it in steel. So every time you see the bridge get hit, it destroys the trucks that hit it, and the bridge stays and maintains its original shape. So great job rebuilding it. It is a great piece of history of Long Grove, and it's a great PR piece for us because it does get hit every other week. So when it gets hit, you know, all of a sudden we get an influx of people look, want to see what happened. And it's what happened to the bridge is still okay. It is okay because of the reconstruction.
So is it true then you're narrowing it by a few inches every year just to generate more publicity? Is that your game, Ryan?
Now, you know, unfortunately, you know what it is they keep on putting higher and higher ladders on their trucks. And as they continue to do that, it just clips the bridge or the box trucks, things that can make it.
Well, just talk to me for a second about this. It's this historic covered bridge, but it's not is it the only way into town? I mean, how is it that vehicles or trucks aren't finding an alternate route? What's the deal here?
What it is that unfortunately they use their ways or they use their map programs. And it, sometimes if you're coming off of one of the ways of road, it's the shortest way into town.
Yeah.
And it says turn right, you turn right. It says go straight, you go straight. And they don't pay attention of the height sometimes. And that's why it happens. Because there's 3 other entrances into downtown Long Grove. That's just the one that seems to find the trucks.
I have said in the past, well, they should just, you know, thank you to the bridge, but get rid of the bridge. But that doesn't sound, I mean, if this is an inconvenience or a cost that you are all willing to share or to weather, then there's no interest in changing that bridge, huh?
No, it's our history. And I think that builds the character of the downtown. You know, when you come in and drive through that bridge, you feel like you've gone back in time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're looking for. That's the feel, and that's what families want to come out and see.
Well, Long Grove this weekend, then. In fact, Long Grove, as of about 44 minutes ago, through this weekend, is the place to be for their Chocolate Fest. Music, beverages, chocolate for sure, all kinds of things for families in Long Grove. It's good to talk to you, Ryan. I appreciate your perspective and thoughts on all of this.
Thank you so much. And if anyone, like I said, go to longgrove.org if you have any questions or want to find out what is happening on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and come out and enjoy the wonderful weather.
Ryan Messner is the president of the historic downtown Long Grove Business Association, longgrove.org. Okay, thanks, Ryan.
Have a good day.
More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago has seen a drop in the startup job market, just like the rest of the country, but a new report says the city's faring better than other places. The report from global VC firm NGP Capital says Chicago saw a 29% year-over-year decline in startup job openings in the first quarter of 2023. Other metros, including New York, Los Angeles, Austin, and Miami, have seen declines near 50%, and the job market may be stabilizing. A separate report from layoffs.fyi says the number of layoffs has slowed from 2,000 in 2022 to a little bit more than 1,200 so far in 2023. A prayer app headquartered in Chicago has just had a successful funding round. Hallow raised $50 million in the Series C round. That brings the app's funding to $105 million to date after a $40 million fundraising round in late 2021. Chicago Inno says Hallow has created more than 10,000 sessions of Bible readings, prayers, sleep meditations, and other Catholic-centric content. It'll use some of the new funding for hiring and product development. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yes, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and our gardening guru, Jim Fizzell, is here, and you're going to share a recipe with us in a minute or so?
Yes.
After I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for being our sponsor today, experience your life in HD, visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, the recipe for those of us who are into container gardening, you know, like tomato plants on the deck or patio, it's make-it-yourself potting soil.
Which we really recommend if you're going to use any more than just a little bit of it. It needs to be one-third garden soil, one-third coarse sand. We talk about number two torpedo sand, but something coarse, and one-third brown peat moss. Mix it up thoroughly, put it into your containers. It will grow very nicely. That is the formula that most of the commercial growers use, so that can be relied on very well.
Okie doke, and you've got some other things to share about container gardening?
Actually, you can buy these things already made up, so all you have to do is set them out and water them and enjoy them. And they're just a ticket for people that are harried homeowners with too little time. And, you know, they're really good for people that are shelf dwellers parked up on the sides of the downtown high-rises. Colorful flowers and fresh produce then are at your fingertips. And containers fit just about any situation. I mentioned the high-rise balconies on rooftops, around the backyard patio, or just as an accent to fill some void in the garden. The selection is big at garden stores. If you go out to a garden store, you can get all kinds of them. One of the problems with them is they do not have drainage in them many of the times. They're pottery. And if you're going to get a situation like that, you need to have a liner for that container. One thing you can do is put a handful of rocks around the bottom of the container, and that will allow you to set the liner up higher so that you have some drainage. And then maybe you can use a turkey baster or something like that to pull the water out after you've done the watering. And if you have these on a balcony, be sure that you're considerate of the neighbors below. When you water your plants, they're going to drain. That drainage water needs to go someplace. And if you're on the fifth floor and somebody down on the fourth floor is out on his balcony and the water runs off, you're not going to have happy neighbors.
No, you will not. Thank you, Mr. Fizz.
You're welcome.
Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, and that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
The National Restaurant Show at McCormick Place starts tomorrow, another big convention in town. Among the people that will be displaying their wares, goods, and foods, the folks from Before the Butcher, the founder and CEO, Danny O'Malley, joins us. Hey, Danny, you're on WGN in Chicago. Welcome.
Hey, John, thank you. Always great to be on your show and being back in Chicago. I'm down here at McCormick Place right now setting up our booth and looking forward to a lot of people coming out and checking out what we have to show them.
What is Before the Butcher? What do you feature?
Well, we feature plant-based meat. So we have burgers and, we have an award-winning, Fabby award-winning, so that's a Food and Beverage Innovation Award for our breakfast sausage and our taco ground. We have grounds. We have beef tips and chicken chunks and pulled pork. But I'll tell you what we're really excited to show off this year is our award-winning plant-based pepperoni. And this is off the hook. It is perfect for Chicagoland pizza. It is incredible.
The breakfast sausage is pretty good. To be hard-pressed to do better than that. So what's the pepperoni made of then? What are the ingredients if it's not pork and sausage?
So we actually use a pea protein as the base of it. And then we have the same type of spices that you would find inside of a regular pepperoni, including the paprika, a little radish root in there as well to give it a little bit of a spice. So all natural spices, it's natural blend. Kind of a unique blend that we did on our own, and that's what gave us the Food and Beverage Innovation Award above all the others that are out on the market today.
So you don't sell it as a stick, though. Do you sell it pre-sliced, essentially?
We do. We actually sell it both ways. If there's somebody, if there's a local deli that says, hey, we want to slice our own, we've got it as a stick as well. We just went into production on this product, and within the next couple of weeks, it's going to be available nationwide, both as a stick and sliced.
It would seem to me like this would be a really good product for you because as much as it is traditionally a meat product, of course, it's dependent upon the seasonings and the flavors, the spice of pepperoni. Well, it seems like that would be something you could approximate. I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
It really is. It's exactly what we do, and we do well in it. And I think you know, being here in Chicago, this is big-time pizza town here. Pepperoni is the number one ingredient that goes on a meat pizza, and that's going to work well for us as well with a plant-based pepperoni going on top of a vegetarian or a vegan pizza.
Yeah, how's this part of the market doing? That is plant-based foods or plant-based meats expanding? What's the market share you have?
Well, that's a really good question. If I knew exactly what my market share is, I think I'd be a genius. But we've got a small portion, and we're really a niche player out in the market. There's some big players out there that have the majority share. So we do a lot of regional. We don't have any national chains that we work with today. So we do a lot of regional work, working with regional restaurants and regional retail stores as well. But the key to these products is really producing something that has that bite and chew and texture. And,
yep.
And it looks like regular meat as well. When you look at this pepperoni, you're going to look at it, and I could put it next to a pizza with a regular, you know, animal-based pepperoni. And, John, you'd look at it and say, I'm not sure I can tell the difference.
Well, what in a slice of pepperoni, the white is fat. What is the white of your pepperoni?
Ours is fat, too. We have little fat specks in there that give us that same thing. We do the same thing, and we use coconut oil to get it thick.
Oh, I see, because that's not a meat-based fat, then,
that's
obviously.
Correct.
Okay, so then do folks buy your stuff in grocery stores? Just go to that section of the grocery store? Is that how it's retailed?
Well, not the pepperoni. Pepperoni is really a big food service item. It doesn't move real heavily in retail. People, it's so convenient to get a pizza from a place. You know, you got pizza restaurants on every corner. So people tend to buy pizza rather than going out and making their own. There are some that do that, of course, so. Initially, we're going just into food service because that's the biggest mover for us. And we're talking to some chains here in the Chicagoland area, and I'm hoping by the end of summer or by mid part of the fall, we're going to have some pizza chains that will have our pepperoni topping on top of it right here locally.
That'd be interesting if you could get a Malnati's pizza or a Gino's or something, and it would be a pizza with your product on there. I would satisfy my desire for a pepperoni pizza. But I wouldn't be eating pepperoni. I wish you luck on that. Good luck to you, Danny.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I really appreciate it. Appreciate being on your show and talking to everybody in Chicagoland. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, so I'd love coming back.
Danny O'Malley is here, the founder and CEO of Before the Butcher. That's I'm looking at the website, BTB,
yeah,
Before the Butcher.
BeforeTheButcher.com.
Got it, BeforTheButcher.com.
We'll get you there.
All right, Danny. Good luck to you. Welcome back.